Walking down the street looking like Superfly. Yeah, that'll do it, man. That'll do it. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, Superfly ain't been around here for a million years. Big wide brim hat. There ain't no reruns of Beretta going on, okay? Anyway, it's the Phil Hendry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And as you know, in 1 hour, debate number three between Al Gore and George Bush. Al Gore, the vice president. George Bush, the governor of Texas. Gore's credibility rating, by the way, has crumbled in the last month, but so has George W. Bush's, leaving a conflicted electorate divided between them. Bush holds a slight edge in the latest ABC News Washington Post poll with support from 48% of likely voters compared to 44% for Gore. But Gore has stabilized on some issues and still leads on knowledge and the race remains close. Is that what I'm saying? So people still think he's smarter, but I don't know that they trust him. On the phone with us from St. Louis tonight, which is where debate number three is being held at Washington University, is Vernon Dozier, who is a political analyst. And we'll come right out and say, you are a Republican, Mr. Dozier?
Yes, I am, Mr. Hendry. I've been a Republican, a registered Republican voter since 1964.
Give us what you think is the... what do you think is going to be the key, I guess, for your candidate, George Bush?
I think Governor Bush just needs to stay the course. We've seen an erosion of the numbers among Al Gore, the vice president's support base, which is female voters. But we also know that the governor has quite a bit of work to do, and that's what we're going to try to help him with tonight. We're going to see how he does. I know that I've got some views on this. I have been vocal about this.
Well, one of the things you were vocal about is that you didn't get an opportunity to speak to the governor about what you think are some pivotal key issues before this debate, some pivotal key positions he should take.
That is correct, yes, sir.
What are those?
I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry.
What are those? You say there's a pivotal, some key elements to this campaign that he's missing?
Well, I've seen, as I mentioned, I saw an erosion of the numbers among female voters, and we believe this because the governor's pro-choice stance.
So you do believe it's because George Bush is pro-choice?
There's no doubt in my mind that the pro-life stance of Governor Bush, I think, has driven away women. Women are all, for the most part, I would say that women are probably mostly pro-choice.
Well, there's some women that are pro-life.
Well, there are some women that are pro. You could say that there's some women that are pro-life. You could also say there's some African-Americans that are Republican. But let's be realistic. Most, if not all, African-Americans are Democrats, and most, if not all, women are pro-choice. And so I want to get prepare the governor to support something that I think is going to bring back female voters. And what I would propose to the governor is to support a national abortion voucher.
Now, I've been reading a little bit about this national abortion voucher. What do you call it? What is that, and why are you, a Republican, proposing that?
The reason, Phil, is every woman who turns 15, and first of all, the reason is to get the women back into the George Bush camp. That's number one. And number two is to get younger voters in the George Bush camp.
What is a national abortion voucher?
Well, the national abortion voucher is every woman who turns 15 will get a national abortion voucher, which would be good for one government-provided, government-subsidized abortion. Because it's only one abortion, the governor can keep his pro-life stance fairly well intact, I think. And it's not that much more money out of the government coffers, and I think it helps attract younger voters.
So you are proposing that Governor Bush support a national abortion voucher because that's going to get more women to vote for him and younger voters, and it doesn't compromise his stand?
I do not believe it does. It does not compromise his stand as a pro-life governor. No, it does not.
You're going to be crucified.
Why?
Because a lot of people are going to say you're selling out your principles for a vote.
Well, no, I would disagree, Phil.
Come on. It's exactly what it is. You guys are pro-life, but because you want more women and you want to get younger voters, you're going to you support a national abortion voucher to allow every 15-year-old girl an abortion under the... Is this an official plank in the Republican Party platform?
I did not say that. I said that I'm trying to contact the governor and trying to give this an option to the governor to help open it up among female voters. And I think
you're going to be crucified. I think people are going to think you're selling out your principles for a vote. I think it's going to be bad.
I don't think so, because of the age of 8. By now, let me tell you what we've got in store here, Mr. Hendry. Let me tell you why it is that, as a Texan... You know, don't, as Governor Bush said, don't mess with Texas, okay? I've got some ideas. Because at the age of 18, if they have utilized the abortion voucher, they will be required to register Republican and vote the party line. Okay, so we're going to get something back. You're not allowed to abstain. You cannot vote Democratic, Independent, or otherwise. You may not have extramarital sex with your man, with young men the Republican Party is not familiar with. So we have built-in safeguards, okay? So
all right, a 15-year-old girl elects to use the national abortion voucher. She goes and gets a government-paid-for abortion, which means when she turns 18, she has to vote Republican.
She is ours for the rest of her life. That is exactly correct. So we have built in a safeguard against the misuse of this, and at the same time, we shore up our political support. We've got a lot of...
What about women who are over the age of 15?
From any point that they use the national abortion voucher, any time they use an abortion voucher, they become ours. And that,
I think you're going to get crucified for this. You're going to be paying for the abortions of women 15 and older, and on the other side, the public.
We're going to get their support, and we're going to get their lifetime Republican Party membership. So whatever you want to tell me, Mr. Hendry, about how it's going to erode our support from some public relations standpoint, I can tell you that we will begin to shore up our Republican Party register rolls. We're going to have more of our registered Republicans, and they're going to be women, and they're going to be young. And let me tell you something, that's something the Republican Party has got. We don't have any young women, and we need to have that kind of voter base to show ourselves up among the young people.
Okay, and what about the public relations fallout you're going to take from parents who say, you're giving my daughter an abortion, you're going to pay for it?
And also, hey, let me tell you something. If we're paying for it, that is going to satisfy a lot of the fear parents have. Most of the reason why parents don't want their daughters to have abortions is because it's going to cost them. But if we pick up the tab on that deal, and we say we'll go ahead and see the price on the abortion, if she becomes a lifetime Republican, a lot of parents are going to be in for that. Now, they also receive a lifetime membership in the National Rifle Association. And
well, you can't guarantee that, can you?
We can petition the National Rifle Association and try to let them in.
Our number is 1-800-449.
What?
No, just hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So 15-year-old girls, in your opinion, Mr. Dozier, can get abortions, then become lifetime members of the Republican Party, and get lifetime memberships in the National Rifle Association. In exchange for their vote, they get an abortion. I think you're selling your principles for a vote. I think
you still don't understand it. Okay,
you're giving them an abortion and you're holding them hostage, sir. That's what you're doing,
Mr. Henry. You are a liberal, and that is a typical way of thinking. That is it.
Oh, come on, will you?
No, you cannot hope to understand the mind of the Republican Party, and the party that gave us Ronald Reagan, the party that gave us George Bush the Elder, is a party that is going to come up with these kinds of ideas that are going to shore up our conservative thinking in this country. And
well, I don't know that you're going to be shoring up in conservative thinking. What you've got is a woman that you're giving an abortion to, and in exchange she's got to register Republican, but you don't know what her heart is. You don't know.
We will keep an eye on her as we will keep an eye on any woman that we provide an abortion for. We are going to keep particularly close tabs on. And we're going to make sure that the young men, that these young ladies are going to be exemplary young Republican women, that these young ladies will not bring any disgrace on their party or their country.
And they're going to be good little girls, huh?
I will tell you, sir, that after they have their abortions, they had better get on the straight and narrow, and they had better shape up, because the Republican Party has picked up the tab for their abortion.
I don't know how this is going to work, other than...
It's very simple. You can go to any state-sponsored clinic and receive your voucher. You can go into any doctor, any HMO that is federally affiliated, and present them with the voucher and say...
I want my abortion.
You want to put it that way, but...
Well, that's what they're going to say. Here's my voucher. When do I get my abortion?
And they can schedule. Yes, sir.
All right, hold on there, Vernon. Vernon Dozier, political analyst. He's a Republican, and he believes that he's got the idea that's going to push George Bush over the top, shore up his voting base among young people and especially young women, a national abortion voucher. They'll pay for one, and the Bush administration would pay for one abortion. Now, keep in mind, this is not any official, this is not an official plank in the Republican Party platform. This is not any officially stated stance of George Bush's campaign. This is this guy's idea. And he wanted Bush to articulate it tonight in the debate. Hand out abortions, and in exchange, the girls will become lifetime members of the Republican Party, and, oh yeah, they'll get a membership at the NRA. Wow. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. In a few minutes, the third debate between Al Gore and George Bush will commence. I have Vernon Dozier on the line, Republican. He's a political party analyst. He's with the Republican Party. He believes what he'd like to see is Governor Bush endorse a national abortion voucher, which will give 15-year-old girls one abortion. And you don't think that this compromises the pro-life stance of the Republican Party?
No, sir. We need to secure the future of the Republican Party, Mr. Hendry. If that means, I'm going to tell you something. If that means putting a vacuum between a few young girls' legs, that's well. You know, I.
Oh my God!
Well, I think it's worth it because you have to understand that our party has been vilified as a party that doesn't care about young people and doesn't care about women. All right, what I say is we give them a...
Sticking a vacuum between the legs of a few young girls?
I don't understand what I...
Did you hear what you just said?
What did I say?
You said you think it's worth it to stick a vacuum between the legs of a few young girls. Are you hearing... You know, see, one of the things you got to understand, Vernon, is when you're pitching an audience or you're pitching a crowd of people...
Mr. Hendry, I've given a great number of comments before groups.
No, just listen to me. You got to watch the way you put things, okay?
Yes, sir.
So he's saying, well, if it secures the future of the Republican Party, it's worth it to put a vacuum between the legs of a few young girls.
Did you get complaints?
You just said it. Did I get complaints? I don't know. Maybe we will.
Well, I'm sorry. I did not mean to misstate.
But you are saying it's worth it to give them an abortion if it'll secure their vote.
It is worth it. Let them have their abortion. They think it's so important. These women, these young girls think it's so important to have their abortion. Let them go ahead and have their abortion, and then we'll see just how much they like it. But if we give them the abortion, they're Republicans for life. In other words, their rear end belongs to us. They can have their little abortion, but it's gonna cost them.
Yeah, it's going to cost them. They're going to be Republicans for the rest of their lives.
There are worse things, sir, in this world.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are. Here's Oklahoma on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Oklahoma.
Okay, so excited.
All right, your car phone, ma'am, is breaking up. So I'm going to put you on hold and go to another call, and we'll be right back to you. Here is Miami on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Miami, hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I think that this man's view on this abortion voucher is just crazy. If you don't believe in abortion...
I think it's worth a shot.
If you don't believe in abortion, how can you give a voucher away? It's bribery.
Well, because we want to get young female voters, and we do have to shore up our support among women. We are pro-life, but we are willing to go ahead and let them have their little abortion if it's just one. Now, this is abortion voucher is only good
so
for one abortion.
You're encouraging hypocrisy
one.
In a world
no.
that's already filled
no,
with
I'm
hypocrisy.
Not. No, I am
you're
not.
You're going to encourage it even further.
No, ma'am,
you're
I'm
a hypocrite.
Not. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm saying you want to have your little abortion? Go ahead. That's the only one you get. But in return, you're a Republican.
Oh,
I don't think
right,
I'm being,
and that's
going to
work. You're
going to
keep these kids prisoners, Republicans for life, I'm sure.
No,
like
not,
they...
not a prisoner. She wanted to have her abortion. I don't know if you've had one or not, but apparently...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't know. Apparently women want to have them. Okay, so if you had one, good for you.
That's a big stereotypical generalization for you.
A big stereotypical generalization. You go to school?
Okay.
Have you been
Goodbye.
To school? Have you been to school? Have you driven by a school? Have you ever...
Okay. She obviously doesn't want to talk to you. Here is Harrisburg on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling...
I want to ask a question. What did you mean, apparently, women have them?
Women have abortions, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, but you make it sound like it's something that they're all... is all the rage.
Well, you see these women getting abortions left and right. I guess it is all a rage. I don't know why they have abortions. I don't know why they do it, but they do it. I guess there's something to it.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I'd just like to say, if you're in the Republican Party, I've been a lifelong Republican, you scare the hell out of me.
Wait a minute. We're trying to get more women involved.
Nobody should jeopardize. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Nobody should jeopardize their morals for a vote.
All I'm saying is we're willing to turn our backs for one abortion.
Oh, are you?
Just
well,
one.
Well, I'm a Republican, and I'm not.
Would you be willing
so
to?
So you're not speaking. You should speak for yourself, not all Republicans.
Could I ask you a question? Would it not be worth it? The ladies will benefit from being a member of the Republican Party and a member of the National Rifle Association. Wouldn't you be willing to turn your back one time? Let the vacuum turn on one time. And then they'll...
Oh, come on, man.
What?
You got this way of putting stuff that is really offensive.
I'm just saying to both of you, gentlemen. Ms. Rainey, I know you're a Democrat. I know you're a lost cause.
Yeah, I'm a lost cause, man. I'm way down the river.
But I will speak to this gentleman in Pennsylvania. Would you be willing to turn your back one time for the one flick of the switch on the vacuum cleaner?
No, sir, I wouldn't. I don't know any Republican in my group of friends that would.
All we're talking about, sir, is a one-time-only abortion, and we can be assured of a lifetime of new, fresh Republican Party females.
I can't believe you're sitting here saying this. Let me tell you. Let me just say something here,
We get fresh meat.
If George Bush, and that's who I'm voting for, if he would even get close to proposing anything like this, I would never vote Republican again.
Are you out of your mind? We're trying to get more. You'd never vote Republican again.
No.
Let me ask you something. When you hear your wife use the vacuum cleaner, do you run out of the house and scream and get scared?
No.
Okay. Then why would you run out of the house and get scared with this vacuum cleaner?
Because it's an abortion vacuum cleaner.
Thank you.
I'm asking the gentleman a question, not you, Mr. Andrew.
That's exactly what he said.
All we have to do as Republicans is plug our ears so we don't hear the sucking.
You're really sick.
Are you willing to put your fingers in your ears one time?
Never. You're a sick individual.
You're sick.
I hope you off the radio. Soon.
You know, you're trying to buy votes, okay?
I heard your little speech, Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, that's what this guy's saying. This guy's a Republican. He backs me up. Don't you understand?
Henry, this is one Republican out in wherever it is he's at. I'm trying to win a debate for George Bush tonight.
Well, you're not. You're losing it for him.
Thank
you very much, and thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Thank you, sir. What is that?
All I'm saying is, why would that scare? Just the sound of, it's done. Okay, that's all it is. Just, and it's done. And
I got it. It sounds morose. It sounds macabre. It sounds evil. Glenn Carvin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to say that I would feel very sorry for George Bush if he were to follow this man's advice. Because I'm very pro-choice myself, but I could see pro-life choice side, too. You do not tell a person to stick a vacuum between their legs.
No, I'm saying...
it's completely appropriate. And I can tell you one thing. Anybody who has an abortion usually is not fit to be a parent at this moment in time for whatever reason. And we don't need to have parents out like that. But you don't try and make people vote Republican because of that. That really makes the Republicans look bad.
See, what a woman who has an abortion needs an abortion.
Look, Mr. Henry... We're not forcing women to have abortions. We're just simply saying to them, take a look at this, huh? Looky here. This is one free. This is like a get-out-of-jail card free. Well, you got a 15-year-old girl, and she's knocked up, and she's got a bun in the oven, and you don't know what's going to go on. Now, you give her that.
Boy, you are so sensitive.
I'm sorry?
You are so sensitive with the vacuum cleaner knocked up.
Well, no. Well, ma'am, as a Republican, I'm simply saying to these women, here's your get-out-of-jail card free. Here's a ticket. One ticket to paradise, not two.
Well, I can
tell
you.
There's only room for one. The other one's going to have to get off the hose.
A woman's vote, whether they're pro-choice or pro-life, you will not do that.
The other ticket goes up the hose.
Great. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. A few minutes, there'll be a debate between George Bush and Al Gore. It'll be debate number three. On the line with us, Vernon Dozier. He is a political analyst. He's a Republican Party member who feels that Governor Bush should propose a revolutionary national abortion voucher. Allow a woman 15 or older one abortion paid for by the government, but they must join the Republican Party, become lifelong Republicans. You've heard people say that that's hypocritical, and you've also heard, Mr. Dozier, people say that even turning your back once for one abortion is tantamount to murder. Now, I'm a Democrat. I'm also a pro-choice Democrat, and that sounds kind of stupid, a man saying that. In other words, I'm saying a woman can do what she wants with her body, but even I'm shocked by the...
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, you can be shocked if you want to. What I'm saying is this. Turn your back one time. Put your fingers in your ears so you don't have to hear the hose. And you have a Republican Party member for life. You have a female Republican Party member. Most likely you would have a black female Republican Party.
Okay, that is...
Well, that's something we have to consider now, Mr. Henry.
And I think that's way out of line.
That's something we got to consider. And you have that Republican female for the rest of your life. All you got to do is turn your back, put your fingers in your ears, throw the switch on a vacuum. Now, wouldn't you be willing to do that?
Hey, pal, if she's of age and she is a woman who has made that choice, that's fine with me. I don't turn the switch on nothing, okay? Except my electric toothbrush in the morning.
You have it your way.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have it my way. Have it your way. Here is Carlisle on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Sir, I would just like to know exactly, you're saying you're pro-life, you're a Republican, you're pro-life?
Yes, ma'am, I'm pro-life, Republican, lifetime Republican Party member.
Okay, but you are giving these girls the option of pro-choice, correct?
We are giving them a national abortion voucher, one time, one flick of the switch.
Mm-hmm. How can you give somebody pro-choice with one hand, and then with the other hand, take away their choice to vote for who they want to?
That's a tough world, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's a tough world.
Last time I heard, the freedom to vote was in our Constitution or something. I'm not too familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it either, but I know it's somewhere.
Yeah, well, the freedom to vote is the freedom to vote for who you choose.
Is it in the Constitution or is it the Declaration of Independence? I don't know. Yeah, I don't
either. Either way you look at it, it's one of the
freedoms. All we know is you and I are Republicans. We're Republicans, right?
I'm not a Republican, and I won't vote Republican either.
Well, I figured you were a Democrat since you didn't know where the Constitution was.
Well.
But I'll tell you that.
Okay, that's not.
Well, she doesn't even know where the Constitution, what the deal is.
Who cares?
Well, people who love their country care.
The point is.
Let me tell you something, lady. You're a woman. That's fine. Your daughters, they're on their own dime, okay? And if they turn 15 and they don't want to say to you, hey, mommy, I got a bun in the oven or I'm knocked up because they're afraid you're going to beat them or maybe your husband's going to beat them, they can come to us. We'll give them a ticket. They go down to the clinic, flick the switch on the Hoover. They come home.
You know,
daughters come to you and you give them one,
yeah,
I'd rather beat you than beat them.
Well, I don't think you can do that.
Well, I highly doubt that I can, but I'll tell you what.
Right.
I just think it's very unethical
for
you to buy votes. And yes, I am a girl, but it's very unethical for you to buy votes.
Well, I'm not forcing them into it. They can go ahead and have the kid and have it live at home with you and your other brood, whatever you want to do. I'm giving you the option, okay?
You know what?
Are you smoking?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you are. So you're telling me that you're pro whatever you are and you're smoking a cigarette. You're murdering your unborn child.
You know what? I've had my tubes
Are you
tied
pregnant?
For 8 years.
Aren't you pregnant?
She's
I've
not
had
pregnant.
My tubes tied for 8 years.
Aren't you killing a kid?
What kid am I killing?
The one that you're carrying in your womb.
She had her tubes tied.
8 years ago, buddy.
Okay, go ahead, smoke. I don't care. But any young slut that gets knocked up is going in the wrong direction in life. By becoming a Republican Party member, we set them on the straight path. Think about that.
By giving them an abortion, why don't you shut up for a minute?
An abortion?
Have my say.
I don't think there's an N at the beginning of that word. It's an abortion.
Well, I think...
Okay, by giving them an abortion what, ma'am?
By giving them an abortion, you are giving them the power to go out and say, oh, I can get pregnant because these Republicans are going to give me an abortion.
No, just one. You didn't even hear what I said. It's a one-time...
It's a one-time national abortion voucher, right?
That's correct. Only once.
Fine.
All right, thank you for your call. Here's Detroit on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
I have a question for you. When it comes to a one-time abortion, I have a better idea. Why not adopt a child out instead of aborting it? I mean, I'm a Republican. I've voted Republican for the last 20 years.
Well, you're not going to get nobody to be interested in that.
You want to bet?
Most of these girls want that one-time vacuum.
Want to bet? I've adopted two children because I can't have children.
What happened?
I am sterile.
Radiation?
No.
It wasn't radiation.
Why would it be radiation?
I just want to know.
It was a birth defect. I have no ovaries.
Well, that's rough.
Okay.
Okay.
I would rather see.
So you would not qualify. See, in that instance, you wouldn't qualify.
I would rather see some family here in the United States.
You wouldn't qualify them.
Adopt a beautiful little child and give it the love that it needs.
Well, you have to understand something.
And parents should know better than to not teach their children.
You would not qualify for an abortion voucher, ma'am.
No, I would not agree with the
abortion. Of course she wouldn't qualify. She doesn't have ovaries.
That's what I'm telling her. She would not be able to get one.
I wouldn't want one.
Want what?
You've got to understand something, all right? Abortion is wrong.
If you're calling up to see if you...
Unless it is a life threat to the parent and the child both.
Ma'am, if you're calling up to see if you qualify for an abortion voucher, of course you don't.
I wouldn't want one.
Because you don't have ovaries.
She knows that. She doesn't want to have one.
What I don't understand is why you guys have to bring up abortion instead. Why not say something along the lines of, we can help find a home for the child?
No, that's too much of an expense. It's cheaper just to have the abortion.
Oh, you want to spend, what, $300, $400, whatever it costs for an abortion? You want to kill a life? That's wrong.
One time only.
And I'll tell you right
I only
now,
want to
George
kill life
w.
one time.
George W. Bush turns around and puts an abortion notice for one free abortion, you become a Republican?
Yeah.
I'll change over to the damn Democrats. How's that sound?
Well, you don't have ovaries. You can't have an abortion. Hello? She hung up, see?
She knows that, man. She already said that. Do you understand? Now, what you've just done there is possibly driven away a female voter.
We're looking for the 15-year-olds, Phil.
Well, that lady was like 29 or 30. She said she would change her party affiliation rather than go with some cockamamie plan that you've got about this...
You call it cockamamie because you're a liberal.
I know. I don't understand. I'm a stinking liberal. Here is San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Oh, sorry. San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes.
San Antonio, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
I would just say that the National Abortion Voucher, I think, is our one real way to free ourselves up, Phil. Yeah. Hello.
I don't think you're going to win any votes by what you're proposing. From any women.
Well, we'll see, ma'am.
I am a Republican. I've been a Republican all my life. I'm 36 years old,
36.
And I have a master's degree.
So you'd be a little old for it.
You know, sir, how many times have you had premarital sex?
Oh, God. Goodness gracious. I'd hate to have to think back. Some of it wasn't very pleasant.
Right. So perhaps if you could have gotten pregnant during one of those times, maybe your decision would be a little bit different at this point, and referring to having a vacuum between your legs might be a little different opinion.
That might be insane. What we wanted to do, we were going to call it the red, white, and vroom ticket, Phil, as in vroom.
As in a vacuum cleaner?
You're just doing this to get attention. And
no, ma'am.
You cannot possibly be serious.
I'm telling you that George W. Bush's support among women is eroding because of his pro-life stance.
Do you have any type of education at all? Do you have a degree of any sort?
I've been to a number of different schools.
Well, you do not present yourself as an educated gentleman.
Well, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Or as any Republican that I've ever known.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. But then
I'm sorry to hear what
I'm just trying to get George.
I'm sorry to hear that someone like you has airtime.
The suck and flush.
You are a disgrace to the Republican Party.
Ma'am, the suck and flush ticket is going to...
What do you mean by suck and flush?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that lovely?
What did you just say?
Mr. Henry, we are trying to... I'm sorry? I'm revolted.
You are a repulsive individual.
Ma'am, you have done nothing but insult me, and you haven't told me why.
Well, you
haven't told you why?
Women.
What do you mean?
You insult Republicans.
I didn't say it.
Women.
I'm trying to get George Bush elected on the suck and flush.
You're not going to get him elected. You're going to get him laughed out of office.
Ma'am... The suck and flush.
All of a sudden, we got the suck and flush ticket, okay? Who's
That's
suck and
lovely.
Who's flush?
Gore is suck and Bush is flush. And I'll tell you right now, I could have called it Slurp and Flow. Is that better?
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Slurp and Flow? Are you out of your freaking mind? Yeah, that'll do it, man. The suck and flush ticket. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here. Boy, I tell you, I walked out in front of the house this morning to take the kids to school, and there was a stench out in the street that has been actually been floating around there for quite some time. Now, the people who live across the street from me, very nice folks, they came running over to the house one morning. They said, "The back of our house, it smelled like crap," you know, or something like that. And my wife, she was literally swept over there by this lady. She said, "Boy, you got to go across the street to the so-and-so's house." "Why?" She says, "It smells like, oh, man, like an open septic tank." And gradually, over the last few weeks, it's been drifting across the street, and I can smell this stench now. Now, here's the thing. We bought up in a part of Thousand Oaks where there's some new homes. And these homes are brand new. So you're dealing with a builder, and you're dealing with warranty, and you're dealing with a new street and new curbs and a new sewer system, for the most part, because these are brand new houses. And this stink coming out of the sewer, and a builder's trying to tell us, "Oh, we have nothing to do with that. Are you flushing?" "Yes, we're flushing." "Well, I don't know what it could be. "Well, I'll tell you something right now. There's something wrong, you know, with something, and you guys are going to have to pay for it." So I can see we're going to have a huge battle. It's going to be a mortal-to-the-death combat with these guys about the stink coming from the street, which could either be the county's problem, the builder's problem, or my problem. And what they're telling me now is my neighbor, who's having to deal with this stench, they have to put according to the people that they've talked to, they need to put traps on their vents, the vents on the top of their houses, so the odor doesn't come up from the sewer through the vent of their house and spread across the land. Now, that's fine and dandy, but once they put these traps on these vents, then the stink goes back down to the sewer, and guess where it pops up? Through my house. So I'm waiting for that ill-fated day. I'm waiting for that day when my house smells like an open sewer, when it smells like, you know, 100 pounds of rotting meat in the midday sun. And I walk around my house and I go, "No, it smells pretty good out here. I guess today isn't the day, you know." This morning I was in the backyard. I go, "Smells pretty good out here, honey. I think we're fine." You know, Maria's standing there going, "Jesus, what is his problem now? He's out there, he's smelling around the back. No, it's, oh, God, does it stink? Well, someone light a match." This pad is strange I'm living in. Do you know what happened the other day? I walk outside and there's a dead bird. And it's just kind of laying there, fully fattened, dead. It's up like a pigeon. It was a dead pigeon. I go, "Holy Jesus, a dead bird here." Maria had walked out just to see. She goes, "Yeah, look, I see that." I go, "I'm going to pick it up and pitch it down the side of the hill or something like that." She goes, "Well, you know what happened to it?" I go, "What?" "It ran into the window." So sure enough, I look up at the window. There's a smudge there, a little bit of bird crap, and the pigeon is dead. The stupid thing ran right into the window. Now, this morning, I'm laying in bed, and the next thing, I'm talking to Maria, and we're laying, we're talking there. And the next thing I hear is like, bing, bang, bing. I hear like banging against my window. I look up, two birds ran into the window. Then it reminded me of the first week we lived in that house. Do you know what happened? I had a door open. A bird flew in. I had the door open. The bird flew in, and I trapped it in this back area where we got a washing machine. And then I grabbed a towel, and I wrapped it around the bird. I mean, the other morning that I see the outline of a bird's face on the glass, just, you know, kind of like, it's grimacing. Just, oh, God. What am I, living in some Hitchcockian nightmare? This isn't an attack of the birds. This is, in all seriousness, my house is located in what I think used to be, or still is, a migratory pattern for birds. I think the house was built, and the, you know how birds are instinctive like most creatures? I think they were flying someplace, and they used to get there without any problem. I don't know, they were going to Capistrano, or they're flying up to a lake or a tree that they know about, and the next thing you know, they put a house up, and these guys are, wham, they're hitting the house, where they used to be able to just fly wherever they wanted to fly to. I'm going to have to ask around the neighborhood. Find out if anybody's got birds going through their windows. So between the stink coming out of the sewer and the birds that are trying to get into my house, we're in big, big trouble, you know? You ever heard anything like it before in your life? I got a friend of mine who's a ornithologist. Seriously, this guy I grew up with, went to school with, you know, just piled around, chummed around, bummed around, and, you know, just got in all kinds of trouble with. Now the guy is off in the Inland Empire out in San Bernardino, Riverside, and the guy is an ornithologist. He's like a doctor of birds. Not really, he can't cure a bird with a bird disease, but he studies birds. He understands them. I'm going to have to call him up because he used to take camping trips out to Joshua Tree for Southern California Edison. And he'd go out there and he'd track the migration of birds because corporations like Edison, for instance, have to know the migration patterns of birds so that they don't set up power lines. If Edison, Southern California Edison, knows the migration of birds, it won't set power lines up so the birds are landing on the power lines, perhaps landing on a live line and killing themselves, or just landing on the damn line. So this is a lot of money the corporations spend to find out that whether or not a bird is going to land on their power line. So you think maybe the guy that built my house could have spent a couple of bucks to find out whether or not birds are going to be smashing their face into the glass of my door. Because there's something going on, man, and they're hitting. And if it ain't them, I got a crow sitting up on the roof. They're squawking. I can hear them coming down the vents. One of these days, I'm going to let the kids loose with their BB guns, and it isn't going to be pretty. And one other thing, I didn't get my flu shot today. A pussy. No, I was. Taylor, me, and Schaefer were going to go downstairs and get our flu shot. Got on the phone to Maria as I was leaving the station yesterday, and I'm driving home, and she says, I said, hey, baby, I'm going to get a flu shot. Why? I said, well, it's the flu season. I get colds. I get a cold, man. It wipes me out for a week. I got no voice. Believe me, when I lose my voice, there's big trouble. She said, me and the kids are your flu shot. And I go, well, I thought that was an interesting comment. Me and the kids are your flu shot. Well, that's great. So I'm living in some festering petri dish over there. I thought it was my house. It's actually just a lab with live basilica or whatever that's. You know, I'm infected. I am like a test case over there. Hey, honey, I thought I'd get a. Oh, I won't get a shot for mumps. I'll just wait and get it from one of the kids. That's a great idea. Anyway, I did not get the flu shot, so all morning long I was hearing in the office, oh, you didn't get your flu shot? No. Oh, pussy. Oh, excuse me. Oh, man, I think I'm coming down with a cold. Did Schaefer get his? No. Oh, you did? Oh, you went down and got it? If you guys get sick in the next week or 2 weeks with the flu, don't come crying to me. No, you're not fired. You can just take a nice long 3-week vacation. You'll need it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.